We're so glad you're joining us online and at our campuses. My name is Reverend Mike Wooten. I'm the associate pastor here. We're going to get into the Word today. First, I want to start off with a story. Now, this story is an old story, and it's about an old Persian farmer named Ali Hafed. Now, Ali was a very, very rich man in Persia. And Ali had lots of fields, he had gardens, he had orchards, he had a great family, and he was considered to be content by everyone who knew him. Well, one day there were some travelers passing through, and Ali, like someone in antiquity would do, invited them to stay at his house that evening. If he wouldn't have done that, he would have been seen as someone who was unfriendly, and that was a big sin in that world. Well, the travelers came in, and that night around dinner time, the travelers started talking about these things called diamonds, and these diamond mines that were all over that they had seen. And one of the travelers looked at Ali, and he said, "Ali, if you had a diamond the size of your thumb, you'd be able to buy 12 times of what you have already. You're a rich man. You'd have 12 times as many if you had a diamond the size of your thumb, and there are fields full of them." Well, Ali started thinking to himself, maybe this is something that I want. And by the next day, by the time these travelers leave, he decides that he's going to go and search for these incredible diamonds. So what's he do? He sells all his property so he has money to go. He actually gives his family to the neighbor to watch over them, and he goes. And the story goes that he goes over Asia and Europe, and he looks for these diamonds. And guess what? He doesn't find any. He keeps looking. Guess what? He doesn't find any until the day finally he runs out of money. He runs out of food, and he dies by himself in one of these countries. Now, the story goes like this, is that the person that bought Ali's field and his property one day was out with his camel, and the camel was getting a drink of water, and the owner noticed a little shiny, something shiny in the water. He went over and kind of in the sand and looked, and it was a diamond. He got really excited, and he started looking around, and he found diamonds everywhere, and it is said that that is how the mines of Golconda was found, and Golconda is supposed to be the richest diamond mines in the entire world, especially in antiquity. Now, if Ali would have remained at home, if he would have dug on his own property, he wouldn't have ended in starvation, and he wouldn't have ended in the way that he did. Ali had everything going for him, but his discontentment became a pathway for his ruin. You know what? Finding contentment in general, I think, is just a tough thing to do. But when we're going through something difficult, when we're going through a hard time, finding contentment can be really, really tough to do. I think some of those times, as we see what other people have and we want that and we strive to do whatever we can to get it, and in the end, if we don't get it, it actually ends up kind of making us more sad. So what I want to talk about today is how do we find contentment, especially when we're going through hard times. Let me give you a little bit about the book of Philippians and what we were reading, what was read for you at the campuses to get us started. This scripture reading started as a personal letter between Paul and the church of Philippi. Here's what you need to know. Paul and Philippi, they had an outstanding history together. They were good. They loved each other. And God had given Paul what we may call favor with the Philippians. They saw Paul as someone who was really important. They saw him as a bright spot in their lives. And because they had such high regard for him, they wanted to help him with whatever he was going through. Philippians 4:10 says this, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again." This is Paul talking. "I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have a chance to help me." Paul was absolutely the shining star of the Church of Philippi's life. Paul needed someone to look at him in high regard, and the church believed in him and his ministry. You know, I think God brings people into our lives who believe in us. You know, I've had a handful of people on my journey that's always seen me in the most positive lights. I'm going to share about one of those later, but one of the first people is just my mother. I don't know about you, but I don't know about you and your mother. My mother always believed in me, always had a strong love for me. That is until my wife and I had grandchildren, and now her attention's gone somewhere else. But here's the thing. Here's the first thing that we need to have to find contentment in hard times. It's this. You have to accept that people care about you. You have to accept that people care about you. Guess what? You're cared about. I can tell you right now that the people at the campus you're at, in the room you're at this moment, they care about you. I can tell you that your campus leaders, they care about you. They pray for you. I can tell you that I care about you. Now, I may not know you or I may not know you well, but you're cared about. You know, and I think knowing that we're cared about is like little bits of power that keep our battery running and charged through the day. And sometimes I wonder what type of difference would be made in our lives, or what type of difference would be made in your life today if you left worship this morning and realized that you are cared about. The people in the room, they care about you. The pastors, they care about you. I wonder if that's just enough to empower you to have a really good week. Now, I know the type of care I'm talking about, it means something, but there's still, that care still has a little bit of distance with it. But I believe also God brings people closer into our lives. God sends people to us, special people for us, to encourage us. I think we all have these people. I'm going to tell you about one of those people in my life. A few months ago, I went to Urbana, Illinois to preach at one of my friend's churches. I'm from Rantoul, Illinois. Rantoul and Urbana are only 10 miles away. I was about 24 hours away from preaching, and I sent out a message on Facebook, and I said, hey, I'd just like to invite you to this church. I'm going to be preaching. And I didn't think, it was less than 24 hours until I was going to preach. Sure enough, like 40 people showed up from Rantoul. Some were family. It was such a blessing. But sure enough, two rows from the very front was a woman that I went to school with from grade school named Kelly Manka Wall. Kelly has been someone in my life who's a friend who is like, I believe God has sent just to believe in me. This is since like first grade. She's always seen me in the best light. She's always had concern for me. She's always been someone who I just got around her, and she just said, you know, just kind of reminded me, her presence reminded me of the good in myself. Now, what's wild about that is Kelly and I, we haven't talked for like 5 years on phone. We used to talk all the time. We see each other through Facebook pictures. You know how that works. But she's there in the second row with her husband, with her three children, and with her mom and dad. And part of me was shocked that they were there. But I remember in that moment thinking, you know what, God, I'm grateful. I'm totally grateful, blown away. But I shouldn't be shocked, because she's been faithful to what you poured in her about me. That's someone who's outside of my mother. Someone outside who said, you know what, there's just something about this guy that I believe in. Those are important people in our life. I believe that God brings those people into our life that see the very best in us. They are there to cheer us on. Those people are valuable people, and they're worth spending some time with. And you know what? Sometimes those aren't your best friends. They actually may not be your best friends. Maybe they're just someone there to encourage you. Take their encouragement and enjoy it. I believe whenever we feel accepted, whenever we feel that from others, it's kind of like being a plant that's dying and you're getting revived. In fact, the Greek in this first verse that we read, that's actually the picture being shown between Paul and the Philippians, is that whenever the Philippians showed their care to Paul, Paul thought he was kind of shivering up, felt like he needed water, felt like he needed a little sunlight, and their care began to nurture him. Their care began to make him feel alive again. God brings those people into our lives. Make sure you are allowing those people to speak into your life. Let's go to the next two verses. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it was with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Learning to be content, like I said, is difficult, and especially difficult in hard times. You know, no matter where we are in life, it seems like the grass is always greener. You know what I mean? We always want more. The grass is always greener on the other side. But when things are tough, when there's a lot of brown grass around you, the grass is much greener on the other side. You know, there was a story of a pilot that I love who would fly with his co-pilot, and he would go over. They'd always have the same route they were going towards, and he'd always look out the window. And when he looked down, he'd always look at the same spot out the window. And one day, finally, his co-pilot noticed this. It happened again and again. And the co-pilot said, why do you always look out the window at this very same time, in the very same spot? The pilot replied, do you see that stream down there? And the other pilot says, yeah. He said, when I was a kid, I used to sit down there, and I used to sit on a log, and I would fish. And every time I saw an airplane or heard an airplane fly, I would look up, and I think, ah, I wish I were flying. But now, I look down there, and I wish I was fishing. You know, if we're going to find contentment, we have to enjoy the season that we're in. And that's number two. We got to find a way to enjoy the season that we're in. There is some grass green on this side of the fence. There is some grass. But you know what? If you're in a troubled time, you're going to have to look for it. There is something good happening this season, but you're going to have to find it. We need to be on the lookout for those green areas of grass on our side of the fence. And you know what? I think sometimes those opportunities, what I found in my journey, sometimes they're right in front of us, but we're not taking advantage of it. For instance, maybe at your job, maybe it's a place that is bringing you down a little bit. Maybe that's part of your trouble. But let me ask you this. Is there something at your job that you're not taking advantage of? And here's what I mean. Does your job have any financial incentives that would help you? Or is there anything that you can do that your job gives you just to break up the monotony of the day? Does your job have one of those pedometer programs? You know, you put a pedometer on and you get your steps. You look like a dork. Sorry if you do that. But you actually go and you get your steps in. You get a little bit of money back. Well, maybe that's something you need a little extra money. Well, maybe that's a place you get a little bit extra money. Or will your job pay for you to go to a conference for a day or two? Now, I know some of you may be thinking, there's no way I want to go to one of those stupid conferences. But I do have a question for you. Would you like to get a couple days off of work and get paid? Well, there you go. Maybe you should go to a conference. What is that green grass that may be not everywhere, but you got to look for it because it may be right in front of you? Another thing that we need to take advantage of when we're in a trouble season and we're looking for that green grass is the people and relationships around us. When I was up in Chicago, my wife and I was going to seminary. I was there for a couple years. And the seminary I went to was about 15 miles away. That's a 45-minute commute in the city. My wife had about a 30-minute commute. She got along well with who she worked with, but she didn't hang out. And so what I'm trying to say is that we really didn't have a lot of friends. I'd go to school, she'd go to work, and we'd come home, and guess what? It would just be us. And we'd been married for 5 or 6 years at that point. Well, I started to think, oh, gosh, what's going on here, God? I want to do that. Where's our friend groups and blah, 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 blah. And you know what hit me? That was a time for me and Valerie to get to know each other. And guess what? Me and Valerie got to become the best friends we ever did or we ever had been through that experience. We became good friends, and we would not be the couple we are today if we wouldn't have had those 2 years together. We went out together. We started talking to each other. It really enhanced our friendship. When you're going through a difficult season or a troubled time, keep an eye out for the relationships that you have around you. Maybe your kid is a teenager. He or she's getting on your nerves. She's going to be in school in 2 years, you know, off to college. Maybe you got to take advantage of that. You got to look at the relationships that are around you. I also want to share this about contentment. You know, contentment is different when you're a Christian opposed to when you're a non-Christian. Let me say that again. I shifted gears quickly. Being a Christian and contentment, we have to remember that it's different experiencing contentment as a Christian as opposed to experience contentment as a non-Christian. When you're a non-Christian, contentment is closely connected to doing everything on our own. When you're a non-Christian, it means I'm totally self-sustaining and I don't need help from anyone. But whenever you say yes to Jesus, the way you operate in contentment is different. It's kind of like when you get a new phone or computer or car or appliance. Usually it works different than the last one that you have. It's been updated. It's the same way when you become a Christian. Since you're now a Christian, you have to operate in contentment differently as opposed to when you were a non-Christian. And that leads us to our third way to find contentment in hard times. You have to learn to work in the Spirit. You got to learn to work in the Spirit. Contentment is different when you're a non-Christian as opposed to when you're in the world. Contentment as a Christian means this. You have to learn to lean on God, and you have to learn to lean on others. In the world, that's fooey, right? We're not going to do any of that. As soon as you put on Jesus, as soon as you say yes to Jesus, Jesus says, I need to teach you two things. You got to learn to lean on God, and you got to learn to lean on other people. Let's first start with leaning on other people. If you have a concern, if there's something you're going through, ask for prayer. Just ask for prayer. Now, that can happen in a lot of ways, asking for prayer. First of all, sometimes you just talk to someone and they're a Christian and you can tell that they have a genuine faith. And you can just ask in a conversation, say, hey, do you mind praying for me? Maybe they pray for you right there. Maybe they go home and pray. But that's a way you can just ask for prayer. I've been on both ends of that where I've just said, hey, I could use some prayer. And I know that person prayed for me. And then I've also been the receiver, or I've also given prayer in those type of situations. That's one way you can receive prayer. Another thing to think about, of course, when you're in your Connect group or when you're in Bible studies, make sure that you're asking for prayer for one another. And let me give you one example, or kind of maybe a different way than you normally do prayer. When I was in Wilmore, Kentucky, I was a part of a men's group. And one of the things I loved about that men's group is we'd get into the Word, we'd talk and so forth. And then at the very end, we'd bring up a chair. One of the men would sit down, and the rest of the men would say a prayer over them and speak encouraging words if they felt so led. Then that man would get up, and then the next man would sit down, and we'd pray for him. I really like that. I know that doesn't work in every setting, and I know for some of you that may be a bit uncomfortable, but there's really a lot that happens with prayer and when you lay hands on people. So if you need another kind of practice of prayer when you're together, that would be a great way to do it. We got to remember, it's a precious thing to pray for one another. And another simple way to get prayer requests done is that if you look at your Connect card, there should be a place for prayer there. Just write it down and throw it in the offering plate later. We got to remember, prayer is effective, and leaning on people to pray for us is a part of God's will for us. So who are those people you can call on to pray for you? I got a lot of people in my life I call on to pray. And here's what I've found is that usually within an hour, when I call on people, when I ask people around to pray for me, usually my situation changes or my attitude changes. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's just an attitude change. Someone prays and God says, get your attitude in check. Other times it is something that God just changes the situation. Make sure you're leaning on people. Make sure you're asking people to pray for you, because prayer is a truly powerful thing. If you feel like you're walking through mud right now spiritually, remember, prayer helps you get back on solid ground so you can start walking like the way you once did. Another element regarding contentment and leaning on others is this. You got to accept help from others. You just got to accept help from others. If you don't have a car and someone wants to give you a ride somewhere, guess what? Get in the car. Let them give you a ride somewhere. If you're going through something, maybe financially, and someone hears about it and wants to help you in some way or assist you in some way, it's okay. The body of Christ was meant, the church was meant for you to help one another. Now, you still got to seek God. You still have to pray. You still have to go to the Bible for answers. But I do have a question. Could it be that discontentment isn't going away in your life simply because you're not leaning on others? It could be. Make sure you're accepting help from others. And if we do that, we will see the results of contentment. Okay, Philippians 4:13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. The Bible's telling us here that no matter what situation we're in, there is strength available for us through Jesus. So that leads us to the fourth thing we need to know that helps us find contentment in troubled times. Whatever you're facing, you're gonna get through it. Whatever you're facing, you're gonna get through it. Contentment is only made possible by knowing that something is going to change. Contentment is only made possible by knowing something's going to change. If we think our current circumstances are always going to be like they are, then why would we be content, right? So here's what contentment calls from us, and you're going to love this, most of you. Here's what it calls from us. Patience. I know. Don't you just love that word, patience? Don't you love when people say, you need to be patient? Oh my gosh, I don't. Whenever I think of patience, I think about my great-grandma Wu. Great-grandma Wu would always say, whenever she was in a situation about being patient, I can still hear her saying, whenever the good Lord made me, he didn't give me patience. And I think that's how a lot of us feel. No one wants to be told to be patient, especially when we're going through something difficult. But we can have patience because we know that our God always has hope for us, and he always has blessing at the end of the road for us. In other words, our situation, your situation, it is eventually going to change, okay? That's why we can get through this. If we allow ourselves to be patient and hopeful, it's going to get us through what we're facing. About a month ago, I was sick with the flu. Okay, I got the flu, and it obviously threw off my work routine for a lot of reasons. But I really haven't had the flu before. And so I was kind of treating it like any other sickness. I have young children, so the last couple years I'm getting sick 3 or 4 times a year easily. And so with that sickness, those sicknesses I get with the kiddos, if I miss a day, it's usually a surprise. But if I do, I can still get work done. And if I miss more than a day, that would be an absolute shocker. So since I hadn't had the flu before, and since I'm ignorant, I thought I would be able to get over the flu within a day. So I had it. I thought I'd go to work the next day. Still terrible. I was out of work for 2 days. Finally, on the third day, it was a Wednesday, I said, I got to get to work, and I'll just stay in my office, and I'll get work done. I won't leave anyone, or I'll leave everyone alone. I go to my office, probably the most unproductive day I've had since I was born that day. But while I sat in my office, I started to realize how bad I felt. I wasn't getting any better. I didn't realize how bad I looked. Larry Weber, over campus development, he should be watching right now. Love you, Larry. Larry came in to come check on me, and when he did that, have you ever seen someone who looks absolutely terrified? Larry comes in, he opens the door, just, you know, he's very friendly, loving, how are you doing? And he looks at me, and I look just terrible, and his face showed it. And so he kind of slammed the door after just a minute and got out of there. He didn't want anything to do with it. Neither would I either. But it got me thinking, I want to show the people what I look like on that day. So I had the security team take a picture from the security camera so you could see what I look like. Here I am. Didn't I look awful? So what was my problem? My problem was, in the midst of me being sick, I couldn't get work done. I couldn't get the same amount of work done for sure because I was sick. I had this expectation that I was going to have the same high quality, high quantity work. But my expectations were not taking into account that I looked like Frankenstein. I needed to get stuff done, but I kept running into discontentment because I was discontent with how much work I was getting done. That was when a few people reminded me that the flu takes a couple weeks, and if I didn't take care of myself, I was going to be in big trouble. But you know what? I started taking care of myself. I started slowing down, and I realized that I started to find contentment. Why? Because I had hope my circumstances were going to change. I had hope I was going to get better. It made me slow down. It made me take care of myself, and it made me do the amount of work that I could get done. I found contentment because I had hope for the future. I need to tell you something right now, Christ Church, that no matter what you are going through, it is not going to be like this forever. No matter what the hard time you're experiencing, God is not going to let you go through this forever. God does not want you in a season of perpetual sadness. He doesn't want you to be in a place where you're defeated by your situation. God wants you to sense happiness. God wants you to sense joy absolutely every day. If there's something tough you're going through, maybe there's something that right now has just been troubling you. It's on your mind. Those moments where it's like you wish you could compartmentalize it, but you can't. It's staying with you. I need to remind you that at the end of this, whenever it's over, you're not going to think about this anymore. God promises good for tomorrow. The Bible says this beautiful verse that I love, that weeping may last through the night, but joy, it cometh in the morning. God is going to lift you out of your situation. All you need to do right now is remember you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. Contentment is available. Lean on others. But whatever you're facing, you're going to get through it. You can find God's contentment in whatever season you're in. So I encourage you. I want you to know that whatever you're going through, truly God is with you. And you're going to get through this. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you so much for the beautiful words that you have in Philippians. These words, God, that show care, that show leaning on other people, that show, God, the strength that can come from you. And the reminder, God, that even in the difficult times, in the troubled times, you can get us through. So I pray for those watching, those worshiping right now. I pray, God, whomever this is for, that they feel you start to lift them through. I pray, God, for people who just have a difficulty leaning on other people or leaning on you. That's normal. I pray, God, that they have the strength to lean on people and lean on you the way that you have asked them to. And I pray, God, that if anyone's feeling discontentment, Lord, that they can feel the joy that comes with contentment, the joy, Lord. And also, Lord, that they would see the situation that they're in. Maybe they're just not noticing some of the green grass that's around them right now. Help them to find that. Help them to enjoy that, Lord God, for truly, This will only last for a time, and joy is coming. God, we thank you, and we give you the praise. Through Christ we pray this. Amen.